You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Well, actually, it came about because we'd done quite a few studies around kids in the city, and the disability community queried why young disabled people weren't in that sample, and it was that we recruited through schools. And so the sector said, well, we'd like you to do the same research with young disabled people, and that kicked off the study, and the sector said that they would support us to do it because we didn't have a background in working with this population at all. First of all, we set up a advisory group of young people with disabilities, and they helped to shape the project and the sorts of questions they thought that we should be asking, and also the age range if we were trying to understand the sort of lived experience of community participation. And then we proceeded from there, and we started using a number of sort of methodologies that we had used in the earlier Kids in the City study, which included, you know, accelerometers and GPS and trip diaries, trying to understand where people were moving around the cities. But we rapidly realized, actually, it was the in-depth conversations and it was the walking interviews around neighborhoods and city streets that gave us the sort of richest understanding of what daily life was like for these young people. Mm. So there were 35 young people with vision, mobility and hearing impairments, and their whānau. So we talked also to members of their families who were their key support people.
It's interesting that you say it kind of sprang off the studies around the city, I suppose, because, I mean, this is a conversation my partner taught in, I suppose, at uni, urban design and that sort of thing, and it's not something that I myself had ever thought about until I had the conversation with him, because, I mean, in terms of access needs or impairment, I don't have that, right? So in terms of being able-bodied or considered able-bodied, I can engage with the city in a way that there are no problems, I suppose. And it wasn't until he's actually talked to me about, oh, you know, this building doesn't have this, or this street doesn't have this, or this is going to make it difficult for this type of impairment.
Well, that's what we realised, because we didn't have that background either. And so we had assumptions about what the issues would be. And we were really challenged on that ourselves. We're really challenged about our own ableist attitudes. And, you know, these young people we worked with, you know, they basically told us that, you know, we can do anything as long as we've got supportive environments and supportive people around us. And it's not just about buildings, as, you know, you've mentioned. You know, it's not about ramps and tactiles. Well, they're important, but equally important are the sort of attitudes and relationships that enable an inclusive and flexible social and physical environment.
In sort of acknowledging that, you know, we didn't have that background and that's an issue, and then taking the step to kind of undertake that research as well, what's the next step in terms of what you'd hope this research is used for?
Well, we're hoping that it will challenge other people to think about what are the assumptions they make about disability, and what are the sort of ableist attitudes, because unless you encounter the sorts of experiences that these young people have, as you said yourself, it's hard to see them. You know, you've got to have your sort of consciousness raised about these issues, and then you know, change the way you behave, you know, to be more inclusive and be more flexible. And, you know, particularly people working in sectors that disabled young people have a lot of contact with, like the education sector and the health sector and the recreation sector, it's, you know, these young people were saying, please, just say, how can we make this work for you? Whereas at the moment, they often get the response, oh, no, you can't. Oh, no, that's not possible. Whereas in their experience, if you've got the right environment and the you know, the right help, just when you need it, not all the time, anything's basically possible.
Well, that made me think of the poster I saw about somebody who, you know, went out of their way to kind of drag somebody across the street thinking that they needed that help, or making that assumption.
That's right, yes, and that can be quite dangerous. So, so they don't, these young people didn't want to say they don't want people to help, but there has to be the right help and, taken to enable them to truly participate and not help that is somehow diminishing of them, that, approaches them as if, disability is a personal tragedy.
And not done on an assumption, rather more just engaging with that person.
Yeah, ask. Ask. And, can I be helpful,
So I want to talk about actually too the form in which I came across this research, or the medium in which I got to read about it, because normally when you have research published, especially by universities, it goes into journals or into their newsletters, that sort of thing. But I was just standing actually at the bus stop on Simon Street, and there was a huge few posters in spaces that like the Phantom Bill stickers fill, and it was like it was a comic strip by Toby Morris, which is, of course, Toby Morris's style is easily recognisable, for one, but it's also like, hey, this is a comic strip, I'm going to read it, and then I was learning something.
That's right, yes. Well, we're really thrilled with the outcome of the comic strip, because, as you say, normally we do fact sheets and we do journal articles and we might do interviews, but, how it came about was, a colleague and I had just completed a study of the private rental market with landlords and tenants, and we'd worked on this for a couple of years, and I saw a comic strip that Toby had done about the private rental market, and it was absolutely brilliant. I felt it captured all of the key messages that had come out of the research that had taken us 2 years to complete. And so I thought, is it possible to do something similar with the Enabling Participation Project, which really highlights for the general public the way we need to change, and we need to recognize and come to sort of terms with our own ableist attitudes. And so we approached Toby, and we had to think carefully about what, from the study, what were the key messages and what were the sort of vignettes that really captured some of the common experiences across these young people. And then, we shared those with Toby, and this is the output.
Yeah.
It took quite a while to get it right.
I know, it does sound like it is. I mean, it's fairly difficult to, condense something into a journal, to say the least, and then having to do that for maybe three panels of a comic strip.
That's right. So we talked through it, obviously, and there were many more vignettes, but we didn't think that they necessarily could be easily captured as in a visual medium. So it was sort of selecting those lived experiences that would work well in this medium. And we also consulted with our advisory group, the Young Disabled People, to make sure that the messaging was right. And they, made quite a few small changes, both to the wording and to the images, to make sure that it depicted their lives in a way that they wanted to see them depicted. We were a bit, there's one picture that you might remember where there's a woman walking along, or two women walking along, and people pop out from behind a tree and say, "Can we pray for you?" That happened for several of our participants, and we were a bit uncertain as to whether that should go in. Would that be interpreted in the way we intended? But our advisory group, they thought that was really funny. They wanted that to be included because it is something which they have to encounter.
I'm guessing that the information is published elsewhere as well, but to also put it in a comic and put it out literally on the street that you're talking about.
Yeah, the main form of dissemination of the comic has been through newspapers. Like, we also wrote an article for The Conversation, and then that was picked up by staff and perhaps others, you don't always know where it goes once it's out there in the digital world.
Mm.
But it was also picked up and circulated to every school in the country through the Education Gazette and to the Board of Trustees, and it's also been picked up on a number of government websites. And because we've said this is public money that's funded this, so spread it as wide as you wish. And so we've also, you know, heard through lots of different sources that it's been included in different organisational magazines. Then we did wonder, we thought, what about on the street? That was really a trial down on Simon Street behind the bus stops. With this, you've got to sit and read through it to get the message. So we thought we'd trial it somewhere where there was a lot of foot traffic, which is where you obviously saw it, because that's the only place we put it.
Mm.
And we lurked around there a few times to see if people did stop and read it. And we didn't think that a huge number did, but you know, but you obviously did. So.
Yeah, I was really taken by it, because it provided me something to do as well while I was waiting for the bus, which often either consists of being on my phone or, you know, doing something. But and it was obviously something that I have thought about or had conversations about, but didn't have sort of maybe access to that information, or at least not so readily available. You know, like the other side of this is that it's also completely on us to be thinking about these things and seeking information out.
Yeah, and you know, and not have the well, what's wrong with your approach? But you know, how can we help you be involved with whatever you want to do? So it's a real change of just
framing.
A change of attitude, being aware, you know, and yes, it's that awareness, that thinking about not making just assumptions.
Is there anything else you wanted to add? I think that
not really. I mean, we would like to also get the cartoon within the health sector, but we haven't pushed that yet.
Well, I mean, it's amazing. It's in schools. That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great, and we're even aware of schools that are going to use it as the sort of teaching materials for, you know, social studies projects around human rights. So
yeah, brilliant.
That's really cool as well.
Will you guys consider, you know, in future research doing that again?
Oh, certainly. It has to be the right study for for this type of dissemination.
Yeah.
We're doing another study at the moment, which is co-designing public space with children, and in that, because we've engaged children in exploring public spaces, we've worked with a videographer, and so the outcome of that will be a sort of online resource of children being involved in this as a sort of research project. So I think horses for courses. You've got to choose the sort of dissemination which is best for a particular project. But working with Toby was wonderful, because he's really got a social justice orientation, so he just picked up what we wanted to do so quickly. And what's been really great is that in at least one subsequent cartoon, as a result of being involved in this, he's included people with disabilities in subsequent comics. So that's
just
really
those
cool.
those changes which actually make a difference. Yeah,
exactly. Yes, because that was one of the things, you know, that comes up all the time is having positive role models in all sorts of situations of people with disabilities. So it's just sort of, you know, this is humanity. This is part of who we are. So that's been great.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.